This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in Galatians with Paul opposes Peter, crucified with Christ. Abraham believed God. The difference between the law and the gospel, and priority of the promise. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Man shall not live by bread alone, behold, now is the favorable time.
Behold, now is the day of salvation.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said,
Lord, shall we strike with the sword?
And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
No more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said,
This man also was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
And a little later, someone else saw him and said,
You also are one of them.
Man, I am not.
And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying,
"Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean."
"Man, I do not know what you are talking about."
And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him,
"Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
So they all said,
"Are you the Son of God then?"
"You say that I am."
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king."
And Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You have said so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no guilt in this man."
But they were urgent, saying,
"He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other.
Thank you.
Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him."
But they all cried out together,
"Away with this man and release to us Barabbas."
A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify! Crucify him!"
A third time he said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him."
But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will.
His heart filled with Satan, Judas moves in for the kill. But our Lord is no fool. "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Of course he would. That's how the game is played. There's poison in the devil's sweetest cup, his fangs hidden behind a closed mouth smile. Deceptive prophets cry out, "Peace, peace," though destruction is their aim. Hate parades as love, and predators are garbed in light refracted. Judas was no good, never was. But give the other disciples some credit. They are not cowards or Quakers. Our Lord did in fact say, "Let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." Yet it was hardly a teachable moment. In times of tension, metaphors fall on wooden ears. So at the arrest of Jesus, the disciples act boldly, if foolishly. Soon enough, Peter will wield the saber of the Spirit. And not to worry, the divine doctor restores the ear of the high priest's servant, probably saving that man's soul in the process. But let no man think of himself more highly than he ought. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. As Peter huddles by a newly kindled fire, a servant girl comes in for a closer look and plays the snitch. "This man was also with him." To which Peter replied, "Woman, I don't know him." Another said, "You are one of them." And Peter answered, "Man, I am not." And again, "He was one of them. He's a Galilean after all." To which Peter said, Man, I don't know what you're talking about. To watch the scene play out is painful. While few, if any of us, can match Peter at his best, we've all stumbled, we've all denied, and with much less at stake. It's like we're watching ourselves on Instagram or a grainy home movie. But Peter is not Judas, and neither are you. You belong to the Lord. Peter's spirit is willing, but his flesh needs to spend more time at the gym. Our Lord, the great high priest, has prayed for Peter, and he prays for us, that we might not lose our faith. Will our Lord take Peter to the woodshed, as he did when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Not now. No need. A word to the wise is sufficient. And when the word is planted in the heart, sometimes just a look will do the trick. Jesus turns to Peter and sets his gaze. A kindly, "I told you so." And Peter remembers what the Lord had said, and his eyes filled with tears of repentant sorrow. And soon enough, Peter will rise to the occasion. Strengthened, he will strengthen his brothers. And his shame at the courtyard fire will be paid for with the fire of sacrifice. And we will be transformed in the fire of a church filled with a spirit much greater than Satan. And now, before our second act comes to a close, a word about shame, and then another about friendship. First, shame. Matthew's gospel calls us to confession. As we confess Jesus, he will put in a good word for us to his Father in heaven. Answering this call, we rally to our creeds and we stand on our Book of Concord. But the temptations of today are more basic, more visceral. Few of our children are falling away because of their love for the Westminster Confession or the Catholic Catechism. They are falling instead to another spirit, to a secularism that mocks all that we hold dear, an ungodliness that takes pride in things shameful. And it's hard not to go along, harder than it was for Peter by the fire. In such a time as this, Luke's gospel sounds an alarm and rings a bell. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this wicked generation, so also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he returns with all his angels. For such a time as this, Luke's passion is like a protein shake for the soul. And if we are tempted to be ashamed of our Lord and his words, we are reminded that our Lord is not ashamed of us. Luke depicts Christ's death as a spectacle of degradation. The Lord of glory willingly endures the shame, the insults. He does not retaliate when mocked and spit upon. Would we abandon our friend and his teaching? Would we abandon our friend who endured such things to save the likes of us? A word about friendship. David had a beautiful friendship with Jonathan, and now the son of David calls us his friends. But Luke's passion reminds us that friendship has a darker side. Consider Herod and Pontius Pilate. Herod was feckless, addicted to pleasure and triviality. He saw Jesus as a kind of clown, a little amusement as he lay upon the pillows and nursed his drink and his gout. The trial of Jesus, the mocking and the robes, they were all great fun, better than any video game. Pleasure and cruelty were Herod's peanut butter and jelly, his brie and Bordeaux. Pontius Pilate, well, he was of a different sort. He was more earnest. After all, he was a company man. He was also a fearful man, worried that if he could not keep the Jewish people in line, there'd be hell to pay from his higher ups. So what happened? These two leaders, as different as they were, agreed that Jesus was innocent, but they both went along with the guilty verdict. And Luke tells us that the two became friends with each other that very day, for before they had been at enmity with one another. What can we say? Our Lord brings people together. The Pharisees and Sadducees likewise had long been at each other's throats, but in the killing of Jesus, they managed to find common ground. The chief priests and the scribes rejoiced, unified in their desire to destroy the one who would upset their apple cart. And so it goes even to this day. Strange alliances form, friends united in their hatred of the Lord, who strikes fear in their hearts. What to do with an innocent man? Crucify him, crucify him. So then we see, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Christianity preaches kindness and mercy. Our Lord embodies love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And despite all this, or perhaps because of all this, the Lord is hated, as is the Christian who follows in his train. The darkness is no friend of the light. Muhammad's sword may kill the body, but Christ poses an existential threat. For one day the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. That's what he said. Better to take no chances. For that reason, he was delivered up over to the Gentiles and was mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. For that reason, he will be on the receiving end of a guilty verdict, that he might save us from our enemies, that he might save us from our friends, and that we might hear the centurion's verdict as our own. To be continued.
In our prayers, we join Professor Pulse and family as they mourn the death of Sarah's mother, Judy Buns.
O Lord, have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Send us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
Lord,
we poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church
to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. To strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
Hear my wisdom, hear us, Lord.
To give to all peoples conquered and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to comfort all who mourn, including the family of Judy, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
Hear,
takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ, judgment with your servant.
For your son shall never be.
midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.